Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. We believe small actions can have great impact. Take a small action today. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Now we're joined again by Laura Bambrick from the Irish Congress of Trade Unions and by Dan O'Brien from the Institute of International and European Affairs. And since we were last speaking to you, Dan, you've received a more complete breakdown of the budget number from the department.
Yep, the figures I had been looking for, the minister's assistant was able to give me a document. The amount the government, the state will spend this year by its widest measure will exceed 100 million. So at 106 billion. Slightly worrying thing, I know politicians love to talk about investment, but what we really mean by investment, most of that increase in expenditure, both this year and going into next year, will be recurrent spending, not true investment spending. And that kind of worries me a bit because there's a lot of talk that this is investment, but it's locked in. And that is could potentially be a problem. Just a small one on cigarettes that I think might need to be mentioned. And I say this as a lifelong non-smoker, that the price of cigarettes it's got to the point now where there is already a smuggling problem around cigarettes and illicit manufacture of cigarettes. So the prices now could be so high that it not only disincentivizes people from smoking, but it incentivizes criminals. Slight concern around that.
In terms of your point on recurrent expenditure, is that not a worry as well in the sense that now, if this is fixed into our expenditure plan as a state, that we have to find that money every single year, every single budget to pay for these new measures?
That's precisely the concern.
Talk to me about the national minimum wage then, Laura.
Well, we had known over the last few days that government were going to accept the Low Pay Commission's recommendation to increase it by 10 cent. And this is a big disappointment to the Irish Congress of Trade Unions, who withdrew from the commission because we couldn't stand over that decision. A 10 cent amounts to the lowest in percentage term increase to the minimum wage. Only Japan has taken a more severe approach to their national minimum wage for the next year. Now, we know from the last recession that a national minimum wage is a really important instrument for closing or at least ensuring that income inequality doesn't get out of hand. And we know this recession, the people that are losing their jobs, they are the people who have the lowest skills, the lowest education levels and the lowest pay. That's how our income tax receipts are staying up. So they need this boost. And it has been proven that increases to the minimum wage doesn't cost.
Okay, so it's a big disappointment for you that it's not there.
It did.
Okay.
I think it's important to say as well that didn't they tweak the USC so people on full-time employment earning the minimum wage wouldn't be kind of paying a higher band of
that? Yeah, they do that every year. So they increase the ceilings before you'd move into higher rates or captured by the universal social charge. But I guess what a bitter disappointment for Congress is, we expect one of the sugar to sweeten the bitter pill of the 10 cents was an announcement about moving to a living wage. This is part of this government's introduction that we would move to a 12-10 hourly rate.
All right. We mentioned a little earlier, Dan, about pensions, and the pension age has not increased to 67, which would be welcomed by a lot of people. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I'm going to be unpopular. I'd love to get a pension myself right now. But look, we're living longer despite COVID. The reality is that if we live longer and enjoy more years of life, we need to work longer to pay for that. That's just a hard reality. And I think, I know, as I say, we'd all like to retire earlier, but if we're living longer, we need to work longer.
It should have gone up.
I think the previous policy was absolutely right. Bringing it up gradually over the years as lifespans expand.
Well, just a bit of good news for Dan and bad news for everybody else. What was announced today is just a pause on increasing the pension age. So the pension age was due to go up from 66 to 67 in January this year. Money has been found to give a pause of 1 year to allow for a pensions commission to be established to decide how we are going to pay for this so-called pensions time bomb. Ireland is very unique. We have the youngest population in Europe. Admittedly, we're getting older at a faster rate. Mm-hmm. But what we have seen is we have to discuss at how much social insurance has been paid and shift all right. the discussion outside of what's
okay. One of the other big aspects, obviously, one of the other big aspects of the budget were the various different green initiatives. The budget today committed to an additional €100 million of carbon tax revenues that's to be invested in making homes more energy efficient, and it's an 82% increase in funding compared to 2020. So to assess the true extent of the green influence on this budget, I'm joined now by Cara Augustenberg, who's Environmental Policy Fellow at UCD. Tara, the budget is 8 times bigger than last year's budget, so do you think we're going to get 8 times more of an impact on green issues?
Yeah, last year's budget was rumoured to be a green budget, and it had some very minor improvements, you know, €9 million toward active travel, a very small increase in carbon tax of €6 per tonne, a little bit of money toward electric vehicle infrastructure and the electric vehicle grants. This budget is substantially bigger with respect to those kind of measures. So we're talking about 18 times the amount of investment in active travel, a doubling of the investment in energy retrofit, and personally, I think a much smarter approach to incentivizing the purchase of cleaner cars through the changes in vehicle registration tax bans, which I think is a smarter approach than simply increasing the price of petrol.
And can you talk to me a little bit about that? Because the people who own electric cars will see a lot of their subsidies and rebates and things like that fade away, won't they?
Well, one of the problems was that while the amount of purchases of electric vehicles was going up slightly every year, unfortunately, so too was the amount of big SUV purchases. So Ireland is one of the biggest purchasers of large SUVs compared to the US and other parts of Europe. And unfortunately, that was undoing a lot of the good work that electric vehicle purchase was creating. So what this new change means is that it will try and get people to think before they buy these really big unnecessary vehicles, which not only have air quality issues, but are also more dangerous. An SUV is 2 times more likely to kill a person at 50 kilometers an hour than a normal car. So there will be co-benefits to this too.
But in terms of in what we're looking at here really is a stick, isn't it, rather than a carrot, like the carrots are all gone.
Well, we also know the carrots weren't working. So, yes, you got a bit of a grant off of the purchase of an electric vehicle. But the fact is, you know, if you're privileged enough to be able to buy a new car, that grant probably is not going to the people who most need a grant. So we do need to have both carrots and sticks, and we need to get people to think before they decide to buy a big, heavily polluting SUV.
And one person here, Dermot in Leash, has texted us, Cara, to say, I understand that the current crisis requires funding, but let's not hide it behind carbon neutral BS. The Greens and their supporters need to cop on increasing the cost of living, pushing more people over the poverty line. That will not save the planet. Hopefully the Greens will be destroyed in the next election, says Dermot, who's obviously not a fan of the Green Party. But to his point about this not helping or hindering, rather, people who are poorer, this does hurt people, doesn't who have older cars, for example, and the carbon tax hurts people who are poorer and maybe can't afford it.
No, I would say in the past we have seen a lack of consideration to the most vulnerable in how we approach the carbon tax. But what's happening right now is very, very small increments of carbon tax increases. So it was €6 a ton increase in the last budget. It's now €7.50 a ton. We're talking about 2 cents a litre on the price of petrol, while petrol prices have gone down considerably in that time. So this is not something that people will really notice at the pumps at the moment. And what it does is simply send a signal that if you choose to continue to stay in, you know, high petrol usage vehicles, these prices will continue to go up. So change when you have the opportunity, but it's certainly not going to cause a huge sticker shock at the pump tomorrow.
All right, Cara Augustenberg, Environmental Policy Fellow at UCD. Thank you very much.
Okay, we're joined now by Michael Fitzmaurice, who's an independent TD for Roscommon Galway. Michael, you're very welcome to Drive Time.
Thanks, Emil.
You were, not so much tweeting, you were bellowing or roaring on Twitter earlier on today. You were saying that both middle and rural Ireland, along with farmers, have been forgotten by this government in this budget. Why so?
Well, I don't bellow or I don't roar. I just tweeted it. First of all, I've listened to the previous person that was talking there, and we're hearing the same stuff coming out the whole time, that people, you know, the vulnerable. Well, the vulnerable now, in my opinion, in Ireland, is Middle Ireland. People that might be driving 30 or 40 miles, you know where you come from yourself, Cormac and Connemara, driving into Galway, you'd have two cars in the house, paying a mortgage, maybe a young family. And those people, you know, when they talk about all the billions that was given out today, and I've listened to Dan talking about 17 and 20 billion, those people would be probably €300 down per year if the, say, home heat and oil, probably €90 to €100.
But they'll be incentivised to retrofit, Michael. They'll be incentivised to go for an electric car, won't they?
Yeah, but just let's live in the real world, not in the little fancy world that some of the Greens live in. A lot of these people are paying mortgages. A lot of these people are paying for their children to be in college. And a lot of these people, and what you have to understand, is that if you want to retrofit your house, no one comes along and says to you, oh, I love your house and I'm going to do this, that and the other with it for nothing. You need to match the funding. And to get that match funding is a problem for some of the people with the mortgages and the expenses.
You're saying the incentive isn't enough then?
Well, what I am saying, I'm living in reality that you, if you're...
But
if
climate
you're,
change you're, is happening if, in if, your if, reality if, as well as our,
if you're
everybody
doing
else's.
A deep, well, Cormac, if you're doing a deep retrofit, you're talking about 50 grand to 60 grand. You will get about 30 grand back. You need 30 grand. Some people, to put it bluntly, don't have that. On top of that, in rural Ireland, you don't have the buses that they talk about. I've listened today to the budget. I was in listening to Michael McGrath talking about all the carriages that was going on Dart and on Lewis. I never saw too many of them in Connemara around Glinsk, where I'm from, or any parts like
what
that.
What about the polluter pays, Michael? That's well, a fundamental the principle. Surely everybody in the country now has to get to grips with, you say you put up the money to retrofit, and that's fair enough. Maybe the incentives that you can argue aren't good enough. But in terms of electric cars, the writing is on the wall for everyone, isn't it?
The writing, the reality of it is, Cormac, that there's a many a couple around this country that have two cars at €7,000 or €8,000. They cannot afford a car, and you get me an electric car, a new electric car, that's any less than 30 or 35 grand. This is not the way we need to go about it. What we need to do
farmers,
is
put, talk the, to about
put
farmers
the infrastructure
as well.
Put the infrastructure in place first. In the line of farming, look at, I'm going through the figures. There is a repeat, and you have to watch these things. No more than the infrastructure. I've heard of the N4 being announced in the last three budgets. Now, the BEEP scheme for farmers, 45 million. It's going to be a BEEP scheme next year, but it's going to be called a different name, and it's supposed to be new money. There is no new big money for the farming sector. And Charlie McConnellogue, when he was in opposition, I supported his motion to help the suckler farmers out, and unfortunately they have forgot about them. There is, I know that there's 30 million for infrastructure and for Bord Bia. That won't be down farmers' pockets. It's to try and get new markets for the likes of Brexit. But there is no big new money for the farmers.
But some
sector.
Of the tax reliefs that farmers had got, that's being renewed. And the IFA are welcoming that.
Yeah, well, and I welcome it as well. But the stamp duty, we have a problem in this country and right throughout Europe that we are trying to encourage youngsters to get into farming. So the tax relief was brought in. It was encouraged by Europe to be brought in. That's there. That will remain there. That's not the new Cormac. That's there to incentivise the flight from the land at the moment to try and get young people back.
Well, all right, Michael, you might stay with us for a moment or two. We'll ask Laura Bambrick and Dan O'Brien to comment on what you've said, that Middle Ireland and rural Ireland, Dan, are going to struggle and they're not getting their just rewards from this budget. Do you agree?
Well, I haven't looked at all the details of every aspect of the budget, but on the carbon tax, you know, I think economists, very few things that economists hugely agree on. And one is that a carbon tax makes sense. If you flag to people that it'll gradually rise over the years, every time you go to renew your car, you're thinking about buying a new car, you'll go for a more fuel efficient one. Every time you're thinking about buying a home, you look at the home and you'll say which one is going to be more expensive to heat. When you're renovating, that'll feed in. So people can plan ahead. They know where the direction of travel. I know it's more difficult for people in rural areas who have to drive, absolutely.
But Michael's point, you're saying tough. This seems to be a city-centric, and some people on text are saying the same thing.
Cormac, I'm not saying tough to anyone, but like, you know, if you believe climate change happens, and the overwhelming evidence is that it is, then we have to do something about it, and we have to provide incentives for us to pollute less.
Can I just say, can I just
to people, all of us,
put on your headphones? Mike wants to pick you up on something there.
Can I just say one thing? How you doing? And everybody is aware of the situation, but let's just call a spade here. In the line of farmers, they're going to pay a carbon tax. The contractors that does the work, 90% of it is not reclaimable back. These farmers are going to be the solving of a lot of the climate problem at the moment, because there'll be new things brought in rural areas to try and help the people that's living in cities. And at the same time, we're kicking them. The reality is that the prices of contracting work will go up when carbon tax goes up. There is no fine if there was some electric tractor that the contractors had. There isn't, or hydrogen or whatever system you want to use. There is nothing there as an alternative in this agricultural sector at the moment. Okay. Hopefully there will in the future.
All right, I just want to get a final word in this from Laura, just on the general idea of carbon tax, Laura, and it hitting poorer households or people who can't afford it. What's your thoughts?
Well, we've seen, while we didn't see the €5 going to the pensioners, what we did see was an increase to the fuel allowance, which won't just go to pensioners, it will go to all households where there is no other non-welfare income coming through. And so while on the surface that looks like an increase, it will be just enough to cover the increases with the carbon tax. So it's just allowing people to stand still. So when is an increase not an increase? Look at the increase to the fuel allowance.
Okay, well, thank you all so much for joining us this evening. That's Laura Bambrick from the Irish Congress of Trade Unions and Dan O'Brien from the Institute of International and European Affairs. And we're also speaking there to Michael Fitzmaurice, TD.